So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 14, text 51. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Without the permission of the girls, the Lord would take the sandalwood pulp and smear it on His own body, put the flower garlands on His neck, and snatch and eat all the offerings of sweetmeats, rice and bananas. Purport. According to the system of worship, when something is offered to deities outside one's home, it is generally not cooked food, but raw rice, bananas and sweetmeats. Out of His causeless mercy, the Lord would snatch the offerings from the girls and eat them, admonishing the girls not to worship the demigods but to worship Him. This worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sango Pangasra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Sumedasaha. One should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in this age of Kali with His associates as Panchatattva, the Lord Himself and His associates, Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Advaita Prabhu, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and Srivas Thakur. In this age, an intelligent person worships the Panchatattva by the method of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and, if possible, distributing prasad. Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Our Krishna consciousness movement is introducing this bona fide method of worship in the Western world. Its members are going from village to village and town to town with deities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, teaching people how to worship the Lord by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, offering prasad and distributing it to people in general. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvachandatra Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Lord Chaitanya's childhood pastimes, especially how he would tease the village girls. Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that sometimes the Lord with other children would go to take bath in the Ganga, and the neighboring girls would also come there to worship various demigods. When the girls, after bathing in the Ganga, engage in worshipping the different demigods, the young Lord would come there and sit down among them. Addressing the girls, the Lord would say, Worship me and I shall give you good husbands or good benedictions. The Ganga and Durga are my maidservants. Not to speak of other demigods, even Lord Shiva is my servant. Without the permission, which is today's words, the Lord would take the sandalwood pulp and smear it on his own body, put the flower garlands on his neck, and snatch and eat all the offerings of sweets, rice and bananas. Today also is the 1000th appearance anniversary of Sri Ramanujacharya. There is a big, massive celebration currently undergoing in the holy Tirtha of Sri Rangam. From our Chaupati temple, one of our main programs of community development is our annual yatra. And we were thinking of going there just to participate in the functions and festival. But then we came to know that the Sri Vaishnava community has, they have invited all the worldwide body of Sri Vaishnavas, and it's going to be a massive festival, and certainly there won't be any room for 5,000 extra people from Mumbai. So we decided to make it sometime next year. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Shri Saran Bhakshi Makto Hanuman Ki. So in our discussion today, today's class goes beyond 8:30. Okay, 10 to 9. We shall discuss something about Lord Chaitanya's current pastime, and then a little bit about the acharyas, various sampradaya acharyas. There are 4 authorized sampradayas. And then we will also discuss some pastimes of Sripada Ramanujacharya. Here, the Lord is snatching offering from these village young girls and telling them things like Ganga Durga Dasi Mor Mahesha Kinkar. This Ganga and this Durga, they're just like my maid servants. When you read this, what thought comes to your mind? Why is the Lord doing like that? Is it just impudence, arrogance, or is it something else? Sorry? It's mercy, correct? Yes, Prabhu. He's establishing. Yes. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. In a very sweet, this is a village pastime. This is not some big, like today we have the IT professionals or doctors or scientists who are established leaders in society. It's prestigious to tell that, at least in India, it's very prestigious to say that, oh, my son works for this IT industry, or my son is a doctor or an engineer. Any guesses as to, during Mahaprabhu's time, what was the cherished occupation, or what was like most prestigious? Sorry? To be a Brahmin, but then you have to be born in a Brahmin family. It was very rigid at that time. To be a debater, to be a champion debater, and to be a scholar. basically scholarship was not the aim. The aim was to just to wrangle, to juggle with words and to do so many things with your scholarship, and then you establish yourself. There is a very well established thing that Nasa Munir Yasya Matam Na Bhinnam. How are you a philosopher? Because I disagree with everybody else. Oh, really? And what do you propose? I propose it should be like this. So, scholarship was highly cherished, and this was the milieu, this was the atmosphere in which the Lord advented. Of course, Mahaprabhu's pastimes are not just, we are not just reading some Bengali stories which happened 500 years ago, and they are good entertainment, or they are good quaint little anecdotes of what happened in India. This is Nitya Leela. This has eternal truth in it, and we need to discover. Once I was reading the life story of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he couldn't get hold of a copy of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Can you imagine? Here is a Indian Civil Service, ICS, now it's called IAS, a ICS scholar, a government official, and what was the reputation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita? In those days, that means we are talking of 1860s or 1850s, 70s, like that. This is something which the Uriya coolies, porters, railway station porters, and they are the ones who, after the end of a hard day's work, they come and read this, and they talk, Ha Gaur, Ha Nitai, He Radhe, He Krishna. Why? Because so many upper sampradayas, so many deviant groups had monopolized the tradition, and the exact understanding was not there. So, it is interesting to note that Prabhupada carried Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with him when he left the shores of India. And in his diary he notes that, I have with me the nectarine of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And imagine Prabhupada coming to New York, and before the first motley crowd of Hayagriva Prabhu and some of his friends, and some came and some went. Am I audible? Right? Yeah. So, this is 1966. You can check it out in the folio. As early as 66, when Prabhupada's movement was, from a mundane historical point of view, was not at all established. There were no glorious people like Alfred Ford or George Harrison or others supporting Prabhupada's movement. And Prabhupada started speaking Chaitanya Leela in front of this new group. Satsarup Maharaj, he writes that when he heard Chaitanya, Sanatana, so he wrote, somebody wrote Santan, somebody wrote something else. Now imagine those who don't even know Bhagavad Gita, those who don't even know what Radha Krishna is, and Prabhupada is introducing the combined form of Radha Krishna is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes. Why? At least I don't have it, I have to admit. But Prabhupada had this faith that the easiest form of worship of the Supreme is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is Yageshwara. Yajna, sacrifice. And he is making it easy for the inhabitants of Kali Yuga to offer their sacrifice. Now the question comes as to why should we offer sacrifice? For what purpose? let us spend 5 minutes on that. I checked in the dictionary, the root meaning of the word sacrifice is to make sacred, to make something sacred. In the West, whenever they could be hear of sacrifice, it would simply mean burning people alive. Is it not? Fire sacrifice. Oh. Like when the first devotee sat for the initiation and the Prabhupada said, we'll have a fire sacrifice. And all the initiates, they had bananas. And then Prabhupada said something like, bow down. They couldn't hear what bow down meant. There is fire and you bow down to that fire. Some of them started eating those bananas. And Prabhupada said, no. That's supposed to be like the sum total of your offerings. It is to be burned in the fire. Sacrifice is as simple as you use all these utilities. Light, electricity, water. Don't you pave to the municipality or something? Like somebody uses property which belongs to someone, you have to pay rent. You use water, so you have to pay the water cess or water bill. You use electricity, you have to pay that bill. Just try to understand, Krishna says, you are in this material world and you are using all these things, how do you make the payment? So we have, for all four yugas, simplified methods of payment. Your sacrifice is simply, it doesn't make you a very glorious person, it just makes you honest. It just makes you civil, that you use some facility and you pay back. Kriteya dhyayato Vishnum, first yuga, Satya Yuga, you do meditation. Why? Any guesses why in the first millennium, not millennium in today's sense, but first yuga, Kriteya dhyayato Vishnum, Vishnu dhyan is recommended. For what purpose? Yes, Govind Prabhu. No, go back to God, it is the ultimate goal. That's right. But for that particular age, yes. More subtle, correct. Yes, Prabhu. Please, Vishnu is for all yugas. That's the given, yes. Correct. Yes, Prabhu. He's saying in Satya Yuga, people are too proud to chant the holy name. Well, partly true. One element is, the atmosphere was very conducive for meditation. You had long life. 100,000 years. So therefore you hear in the Puranas some sage did tapasya for 30,000, 40,000. Easily possible. No worries, no inflation, no bad government. Sorry, we are not interested in politics here, but I sometimes, at least in India, I do that. Here it is much more easier. I imagine like all the trees around you are fruit-laden trees. Every stream of water is sweet, nectarian water. And you go to some place, somebody's house, and say, can I have prasad here? And say, oh, welcome. So every house is welcoming guests, pilgrims. A dream perhaps, but that was what Satya Yuga was. People would search out if there is somebody who needs something. There is no question of selling food. There is no question of selling education. In the Ramayana, Bharat, when he is told that You had a desire for kingdom. You had a desire. You had an ambition. He said, no, I didn't. If it is proven that I also had a little bit of attraction for taking my brother Ram's throne, let me get the sin which accrues to someone who sells education or who sells food. You may say, oh, these are big industries today. So this is how far we have come from that age. And therefore, it's a bit preposterous to feel that I also can do meditation and get set fresh in this age when the atmosphere is so down, is so degraded. So when that age gets over, when the Satyuga gets over, the next stage, suddenly people find that life expectation has come down also by, it's not 100,000 anymore, it's just 10,000, 10 gone. And because the method now is not applicable, Triteya Dhayato Vishnum, Tritayam Yajato Makhai. In Treta Yuga, the process is of fire sacrifice. Makha is a fire sacrifice. Previously also, meditation also a sacrifice, where you give your undeviated mind, your attention. That's what you put in. That's a fire sacrifice equivalent. So did you notice things have become more gross now? Instead of just meditation, there is activity. There are people chanting. There are some movements in India which say that let us restore that original home havan. It's called havan. And some people say, oh, we also do a little bit of havan at home. You know, tiny little thing, just few drops of ghee and few grains. The original Treta Yuga sacrifices, the arena was like a village. There could be 5,000, 3,000, 10,000 priests all chanting the same meter. There were referee priests. Imagine, like they would be checking the meter, they could be checking the pronunciation that it's perfect or not. Because one wrong syllable here and there, and it could go awry. You could, instead of getting this particular result, you could get that particular result. Hundreds and thousands of tons of grains, ghee. Why? Because it was available. Today, at least in, I come from India, so my examples would be little India-centric. If somebody does that, someone could say, such a crime. You're not feeding the hungry millions and you're burning all this in some nonsense fire sacrifice. So it's not practical. The third yuga begins. Dwapare paricharyayam. In Dwapar Yuga, not even dhyan, not even fire sacrifice, paricharya, coming to a temple and doing deity worship. And that's why some of the major development in temple architecture, that's a Dwapar Yuga part. So now you need fruits, flowers, you need multiple offerings with bhajans, with singing and dancing and so many things. Now it has become even more gross. And the Shastra gives its final verdict. In the fourth age, which happens to be our age, and only 5,000 years have passed. Any idea how many more are remaining? 2,000 more? 427,000 more. So which means not even, I don't think even 10%, less than 10% has passed. And things have become so degraded. It is described that, as Prabhuji rightly said, every yuga cycle, Vedic time is calculated as a cycle, not in a linear fashion. So like spokes of a cycle wheel. What's up, suddenly the next moment is down. What is down suddenly becomes up. And it perpetuates itself. So, Satya Yuga, 100% mode of goodness. When it is over, 25% shaved off, is gone, is utilized. The next yuga begins with a capital of only 75%. It ends with 50. Dwapar begins with 50, ends with only 25. And our age, it began with just a measly 25%. And when it's going to end, even that's going to be completely destroyed. So therefore, this is called like the difficult age, the iron age, or actually in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vyasdev sees and Prabhupada used, whether it's Prabhupada or whether it's BBT editors, those words just stuck in my mind when I read them for the first time. Horror piled upon horror. That is only apt way to describe things happening in our age. Many of the things we see and we are just kind of matter of fact. Oh yeah, there will be wars. Oh yeah, there will be people killing each other. Oh, there will be no mercy. There will be fighting among brothers, sisters, parents. Family life will be destroyed. There will be no mercy. But what we take as a simple fact of life from the historical perspective could be a really horrible thing. So now the question is, in such a difficult time, I'll bring you back to the original point. We need, whether we are in Satyuga or whether we are in Kaliyuga, we need good fruits. We need pure water. We need pure air, correct? Whatever. Making the best use of a bad bargain. So if the Yuga Dharma, we saw meditation, fire sacrifice, deity worship. If this is how we pay our bills, just to be honest, if this is how somebody becomes civil, if this is how somebody becomes honest, then what is the honest way of paying your bills in this Kali Yuga, in this age? And that was not known. Krishna mentions japa as yajnanam japa yajyosmi. Chanting of names is nothing new. Mahaprabhu did not bring something new. This chanting what you and me are doing is not a new process. It's not even a tweak. It's not an update. It was already existing. And as you said in the 11th canto, people are proud. Well, I honestly feel if I would be in Satya Yuga and somebody would have told me, just take this Japamala and chant and you'll go back to Godhead. And I take the mala and say, really? Is that all? Ah, come on, sure, there must be something more to life than this. So, it's because you have intelligence, you have a long life, everything is so sweet, so nice around you. What Mahaprabhu did is, looking at the precarious condition of people in this age, by his compassion, just because, like sometimes, our Jananivas Prabhu, when he was giving class, he said, Krishna consciousness is so simple, you could miss it. This process is so simple, it's like you try to meet somebody in the market and you ask her, how does he look? Oh, this person is such a simple looking person, you might miss him. Although he's someone, some superstar, although he's some big personality. So this process is actually so simple, I catch myself so many times thinking, could there be something else, something more efficient than chanting, something more important than chanting. But all that we are required is just to take the process. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Imagine somebody in those previous ages being told that in the last part of this yuga cycle, people just will be chanting and that's how they will be going back home. I said, no, that's not possible. Jai Shri Radha Gokulan Bhagwan ki, Salaam Lakshmat Hanuman ki, Gaur Nitaye ki. So if we see Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we find that he actually kept on stressing this point, and it would be seen from his life also. He liked devotees to chant. He liked that devotees to take to the process seriously. And a simple question, is the process of chanting the Maha Mantra easy or difficult? You know it's a loaded question. Difficult? Okay, difficult. It's both. That's a good answer. It's both. The understanding of the process is easy and the application is difficult. See if you share my opinion on this. The understanding is there are no asanas. You don't need to stand on your head, which means you have to learn that process first and then chant. Or you need to have some kind of educational qualification. Nothing. Prabhupada says in the introduction to the Maha Mantra, he says even a child can take part, even a dog can take part. So what is the difficulty then? The difficulty is in convincing our rebellious mind that this process actually works. And every other process, it's like a struggle. So, I'll just repeat this one shloka which Prabhupada includes in today's purport. Just a simple thing. These girls are told to, by my Mahaprabhu himself, that you worship me. And Prabhupada is taking that cue and saying, this worship of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varanam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangasra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. We'll not go into details of this particular verse. It's a very important verse. Krishna Varnam. Here Varna means either the bodily color or Varnanam. One who chants Krishna. One who sings Krishna. Sangha Upaanga Astra Parshadam. Normally every incarnation will be celebrating Ram Navami's very soon. So Ram has his bow and arrow. In Vrindavan, Krishna didn't use any weapon. Our acharyas point out that sometimes he used his fist, sometimes his hands, sometimes his lips, but never a weapon. Krishna did not kill any demon with a weapon within the precincts of Vrindavan. But when he came out, then he used his sword, then he used his Kamodaki Gada, his club, he used his chakra, Sudarshan Chakra. Lord Narasimhadev used his nails. Tava kara kamala vare nakham adbhuta shringa dalita hiranyakashipu tanu bringa. Jayadeva Goswami makes a comment that normally I see a bumblebee sitting on a lotus flower and crushing it. The lotus flower, the lotus petal is a very delicate thing, and a bumblebee can crush the pollen with his feet. But here, tava kara kamala vare, your lotus-like hands, they have ripped apart the bumblebee known as Hiranyakashipu. It's reverse. Tava kara kamala vare nakham adbhuta shringa dalita Hiranyakashipu tanu bringa. So this bringa-like Hiranyakashipu has been defeated by the lotus. Normally the bumblebee defeats the lotus. Keshava, O Lord Keshava, you are Keshava. You have taken this Narahari Rupa. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not use any weaponry. But he's an avatar. For his avatar karya, he will need some weaponry. So that weaponry is his own associates, his own parshada, those who are his close confidants. They are his weaponry. Yagyai sankirtana prayer. And the same yagya. So the moment you read yagya in Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it means paying off your bills, utility bills. You need to survive here. Sometimes devotees are accused that get a job, do something. Or you are here in this part of the world, you are having your temple, you are doing your deity worship, you are doing your festivals. What are you doing for society? Heard this before? How's your contribution to society? And I mean, what are you doing? The fact remains that Krishna is willing to sustain this material world. See, this material world is just like any other city which is having its water department, electricity department. How can they go on if people don't pay their bills? Correct? Some people have to pay their bills so that they can employ people and they can continue their work. So I just told one college student that we, not meaning those only the Hare Krishnas, but all those souls who accept the holy name of the Lord, chanting that as the main process, we are the ones who maintain this world. I'll tell a small joke. Not a joke, it's a real thing. I went to a temple. Now it's a good temple, so I'll not take the name. But that time it was in some area where, now this happens in India, where you don't pay the electricity bills. Anybody's in India, you just put a small line and you draw power. Nothing much, nothing big from Western point of view, but still, we were operating the Brahmachari ashram based on that one line which was drawing power illegally. So I was in my room and I said to the temple manager, I said, "Hey Prabhu, since morning there is no electricity, so can we call the people there and complain?" And he was like, "I'll get back to you." So 1 hour passed. Again I reminded him, "Why don't we call them?" So then the one junior brahmachari said, "We can't because we don't pay the bills." If you call them and say that this particular building here is not receiving electricity, then they will notice that, hey, that means you are taking something from us. And they might send an inspector. So that's how it is. In this age, whatever your qualification, you are simply taking from material nature. I was debating with one IIT boy. IIT in India means those Indian Institute of Technology and upper crust. So I said, "If you don't chant, you won't get rains." So he told me, "In Singapore, it rains every afternoon." I went there and saw it for myself. Yes, every 11 o'clock. Mild shower. So he challenged me, "Are they chanting Hare Krishna? That they are getting this rain?" So I thought, hey, first time I thought I am defeated. We tell people that if you chant, then you will get normal rains. But then, rest assured, Prabhupada has given us enough philosophy to defeat anybody here. So then I was discussing in our Brahmachari class. I said, okay, what if somebody challenges us that here is one place, there is total material prosperity. Conducive atmosphere, fruits, flowers, vegetables, everything nicely given, and we don't chant your so-called holy name. In the Bhagavatam it is said, like we tell for sure, but we also need to be convinced ourselves, people cannot be happy if they are not civilized. Is that correct? Yes, any society would say that. Ashantasya kutasukham. Nasti buddhir ayuktasya, nacha ayuktasya bhavana, nacha bhavata shantir, ashantasya kutasukham. Krishna challenges Arjuna. The meaning is, nasti buddhir ayuktasya. If your intelligence is not linked to this system of sacrifice, nacha yuktasya bhavana, your consciousness also will not be linked. Nacha bhavayata shantir. And if your consciousness is not linked with the process of offering sacrifice, there will be no peace in your life. And if there is no peace, Krishna is like scoffing. Where is the question of happiness? See from an objective point, see from an objective angle, there are parts of the world, Somalia, Syria, where even the daily existence is at stake. War. What for? Some material asset, oil, natural gas, or this or that. But do we see people there committing suicide? You may say, they don't need to, you know, some bomb will get you today or tomorrow. But at least there is a desire to survive. There's a strong will to live. Why is that? That in the most developed parts of the world, there is a great surge in suicide rates. In some of the most prosperous parts of the world, people don't need to kill themselves. So either way, whether you have prosperity or not, if you don't offer sacrifice, ashantasya kutasukham, that happiness is not there. I'll end the discussion on this particular thing and we'll move on to the pastimes of Ramanujacharya. These girls, it is later described that Nimai would come and tell them, give it to me, give it to me. Now these girls were very simple. When Nimai is telling them that Lord Shiva is my servant, you know, Ganga, Durga, they're all my servant. They're small girls. For them it's just like, oh, this boy is very impudent. He doesn't know what he's saying. Imagine Nimai Pandit would say the same thing to Kolavecha Sridhar, who was a senior, much senior to him in age, and he was a Ganga Bhakta. Whatever he would get, he would offer Ganga Puja. And one day when Nimai Pandit told him that, this Ganga Devi is my servant, you know that? He was like, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. He said, Nimai Pandit, can I tell you something? When boys are adolescent, they show some restlessness in their mind, which is understandable. But after they pass their adolescence, they are expected to be a bit mature. The meaning is, when will you become mature? But the fact is, Mahaprabhu telling that Ganga is my, she's my maid servant. From the truth point of view, is real truth, is a supreme truth, isn't it? He's not telling a lie. But this is how he enveloped all these devotees with his maya, yoga maya. They didn't understand that this is actually the only when Keshav Kashmiri was defeated and he had a boon. He said he had a boon from Saraswati that no one can defeat him. So at night, in a dream, Mother Saraswati came and said, you are very fortunate. He said, what fortunate? I was defeated today by a mere boy. Somebody who just teaches grammar. He said, "Do you know that he is my Lord?" He was shocked. He said, "You mean to say that he is Vishnu?" He said, "Of course. He has come in this form. This is his divine pastime." So he was like a bit satisfied. Okay, at least no scholar defeated me. Mother Saraswati has kept her word. So Mahaprabhu does give this kind of, distribute this kind of love through his pastimes. He is the Supreme Lord. He chooses a particular personality to be the Sampradaya Acharya. We'll spend some time on understanding of this word Sampradaya. Sampradaya. Sam is totality. And Pradaya is to give. The means, the education, the training, all things required for self-realization, when they are given in a particular way, that's called Sampradaya. And there are four Sampradayas. Padma Puran says, Lord Vishnu has appointed four divine personalities as teachers or as heads of a particular Sampradaya. Look at a Sampradaya like a university, and there is a chancellor of that university. He or she is supposed to be a very learned personality, a very qualified personality. Any idea who are the four heads of Sampradayas? Yes? Yes, of course. But in what we are talking of, he appeared in a Sampradaya. Who is the Sampradaya head? Lakshmi. Lakshmi Devi is the head of a Sampradaya. Lord Brahma has a Sampradaya. Lord Shiva has a Sampradaya. And the four Kumaras. Sampradaya ye vihina mataste nishfala. Sampradaya vihina mantraste nishfala mata. Padma Purana cautions. If somebody gives you a mantra, if somebody... Can this be tightened a little bit? Yeah. If somebody gives you a mantra, and he says that this is a very good mantra, it's a very sweet mantra, it's a very effective mantra, but just doesn't belong to a Sampradaya. No. It's like somebody giving you a currency note saying that, you know, like in India, we say, "I don't like that old man, I have made him another one, you know, much better looking picture, and this is a much better colorful currency note." You may say, "Yeah, it is. It is colorful, it is nice looking, but it is not authentic. It is not given by the Reserve Bank of India." So mantras cannot be manufactured in your backyard. Or the process for self-realization cannot be manufactured. So this is a historical perspective which I would like to share. See if it clicks, so to say. Kali Yuga begins. And Kali means... these four principles, these four pillars of civic life or honest life or decent life: mercy, austerity, cleanliness and truth. And Kali hits at them in the story of Parikshit Maharaj accosting the personality of Kali. The bull, which is the symbol of dharma, has three legs broken and is hobbling on one. So the Chinese have a saying, the fish rots from the head. Similarly, society also rots from the head. So what Kali did was, the very first instance of his blow was the Brahmana population became corrupted. And there is Pashu Hatya for a particular sacrifice. Not all sacrifices involved killing animals. A few. They were there, but that was done with precision. That was done under supervision. That was done by highly qualified people. But in Kali's domain, he had unscrupulous people take birth in so-called high-class families, and they were butchering animals left, right, center. Jayadeva Goswami sings, Nindasi yagya vidhe rahaha suti jatam. He's just criticizing the Vedas and animal slaughter. So, Keshavadhrita Buddha Sharira. Who is Buddha? The same Supreme Lord as a Shaktyavesh, as a empowered, he empowered a personality. And he gave a particular kind of lifestyle which had nothing to do with Vedas. He didn't deny, he didn't deride, he didn't criticize, he just neglected. But what he took was some secondary aspects of civic life. Ahimsa, asteya, don't steal, don't tell lies, don't kill. Don't kill was the first one. No himsa. So Buddha coming and sort of propagating what he was doing was like there is a big pandal. And there are people who have been, there are many people over there. And suddenly there is an electrical fire. What could be your first instinct in your mind? Is just put the main switch off. Is it not? So that at least there will be no more fire. So Lord Buddha, he sort of put the main switch off. No discretion, no Vedas, nothing. So what society had was something very strange. There is devotion, but devotion is not towards God. There is no Atma mentioned. If you had asked, he didn't say anything, by the way. But his people after him, is there a soul? He said, well, if at all there is a soul, it is born at the time of birth and it dies at the time of death. If at all there is something called a soul. So now our pandal fire, there is a fire, main switch is off, and now steps are taken to control the fire. The fire is under control. Now somebody has to restart the main switch again, right? The game is not to just keep it as it is, because we need electricity. But there was some malfunctioning, therefore there was a fire. So Buddha came and shut the whole thing off. So there were so many monasteries, there was Raj Ashraya, they were giving patronage. That's how actually things work. Unless you have some important person, government officials or the government helping you, you cannot take responsibility. People will not accept the process of self-realization unless the leaders take it. Now Buddha is 6th century BC, something like that. And 6th century AD, that means almost 1200 years after that, 1000 to 1200 years after that, Shankaracharya comes. Now what this personality is being told by the Supreme Lord is, you give something which is very akin to Buddhism, something very similar, but from the Vedas' point of view. So, Mayavadam Asatchasram Prachan Bauddham Uchyate. What he speaks is very similar to what Buddha has taught. I read in an interview that Dalai Lama, the current Dalai Lama who preaches Buddhism, he said, I'm always surprised about one thing. Why did India kick out Buddhist teachings? When it's so similar to what Shankaracharya taught. But every acharya is like an officer on special duty. When are you beginning your haveli construction? This June? June. Will the people who work with chandeliers and those who do wallpaper, will they come in June? No way. what you will see is dumpers and excavators and drills and whatever. It will make a big noisy thing. You may say, where is the beauty in this stuff now? All these first 4, 5, 6 months is just heavy activity. What if you bring those crystal chandeliers and everything right now? It doesn't make sense. First you have to dig below. The higher the edifice or the establishment or the building up, you have to go that much below. So this whole thing is like a wonderful arrangement of Krishna to revive God consciousness in this age of Kali. So because people were killing, Buddha was sent and he just silenced everything. He just put the main switch off. The fire was quietened. Everything was normal. He put the main switch on through Shankaracharya. But that was not the whole game plan. The next one to come is Ramanujacharya. So 1017 AD, roughly, he appeared. His father's name was Somayaji Dikshitair and his mother's name was Kantimati. At age 17, young Ramanujacharya would talk about the entire spectrum of Vedic literature. There was nothing which people thought, is there something he doesn't know? He seems to know everything. And he was sent to a school. And you can guess who could be his teacher, because the whole sampradaya was monopolized by Acharya Shankara and his teachings. So Yadav Prakash was a sannyasi. And he would diligently serve his guru. One day one student said, Guru Maharaj, this particular Vedic mantra says, the eyes of Lord Vishnu, the word used in this particular verse is kapyasam. According to one narration, Shripada Ramanujacharya was massaging his guru. And this word came, kapyasam. So guru said, simple. Kapi means a monkey. And asam means the rare of a monkey. So they were saying, really? Lord Vishnu's eyes are described as having the color like the rare of a monkey? I don't know if you can, if you have been to Vrindavan, you see monkeys have this pinkish bottom. And the other students just took it like, all right, it could be like that. And hot tears fell on the back of his guru. And he looked back and he said, oh, what's your problem? Why are you crying? Is there something wrong in the way I give the meaning? He said, how can the scriptures use a monkey's rare to describe the color of Lord Vishnu's eyes? He said, oh, so you seem to be a smart aleck. What is your rendition? He said, ka means water. What grows in water is a lotus. And the lotus is pinkish. And that's how Vishnu's eyes are pinkish. There was a stunned silence. For the first time, Yadav Prakash was silenced by the knowledge of one of his students. The other students were also like, how come he knows more than the spiritual master? From that day onwards, this guru actually plotted to kill him. He was so afraid. He was thinking that, you know, this boy is dangerous. He took him to a forest and there was this plot of killing him, and a hunter couple came, primitive people living in the forest who just survive on hunting and gathering, and they said, your life is in danger, come with us. And they told him to close his eyes, and he found himself again in Kanchipuram. So later he understood that they were Lord Shiva and Parvati who came to save him. But just like the rising of the sun, you cannot stop the sun from rising by shouting slogans or deriding or criticizing it. Once it starts rising, it has to rise. So Ramanujacharya's his name and fame spread everywhere. Of course, there are so many pastimes, and I am not such a big conversant, expert in Ramanujacharya's stories. We have Nityanand Prabhu in Chopati who can regale an audience for more than 6 hours. It's one after another. I've just taken some main themes in his contribution. Number one, we use the word Sanatana so many times. Srila Prabhupada talks of Sanatana, Sanatana, Sanatana. Not Sanatana Goswami, but the word Sanatana. Any idea what it means? Eternal. Without any beginning, without any end. So Sanatana Dharma, this is the unique contribution of Ramanujacharya, where he described the living entity is Sanatana. Krishna is Sanatana. The bond between them is also Sanatana. But you might say that, but for so many years of my life, I was not in bhakti. And now I have taken up the process. You have just taken up something which you have forgotten. The forgetfulness is always on the part of the living entity, never on the part of Krishna. If both of us forget who we are, everything is finished. But Krishna never forgets. And therefore Krishna practically proclaims in the Bhagavad Gita in a loud voice, Mameva ansha jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. He says, Arjun, all living entities, not just Indians or Brahmanas or Hindus or this or that, every living being is eternally my part and parcel. So Krishna is eternal. The living being is eternal. Krishna is proclaiming his relationship with me is eternal. What is that relationship? What is that occupation? We all have been tutored goodly, badly, highly, lowly, whatever. We might be happy with our schooling or education. But that's not our eternal occupation. What is our eternal occupation? That's this process of serving Krishna. So Prapatti, that's the name Ramanujacharya gave. Mahaprabhu took two things from Sripada Ramanujacharya. He took two from all these four sampradayas, synthesized them properly, harmonized them. The understanding of bhakti without any contamination of jnana and karma. What is the contamination of jnana? That I will try to know Krishna by my knowledge. There are many things, but I'm just making it very surgically precise. The arrogance of jnana is that, and that can be seen in so many philosophers, that one great British scientist, Stephen Hawking, you know what was his crystallizing of all his ideas? He said, actually tell you, my ambition is to know the mind of God. You see, imagine, you could be Stephen Hawking, you could be the most celebrated Cambridge professor, but here you are and your aim is to understand the mind of God. One devotee told a story of a yogi appeasing Lord Brahma, and Brahma comes with his four heads and he says, my dear Lord, can you give me one thing? He said, yes. What do you want? I want your intelligence. He said, really? Can you hold it? He said, doesn't matter. Just give me your intelligence. So Lord Brahma says, Tathastu. So all those four heads, imagine the billions of terabytes of information which was there, quadrillion rather, all that entered into this yogi's brain and so at least try to beg something which you can bear. At least try to understand your mental capacity. So jnana is that feeling that I will know Krishna by my intelligence. I'll capture him. What is the problem with karma then? Karma is, by my fruitive activities, by my auspicious activities, I will make myself attractive so much that Krishna has to come. The yagnik brahmanas, they symbolize this. That with our auspicious activities we can catch. And Ramanujacharya gave the understanding of bhakti, devoid of, see, when I joined the ashram, there was a brahmachari there, and he used to see me reading, and he said, Prabhu, ours is not the Gyan Sampradaya. So I said, really? So why did Prabhupada give so many books? Practically, he didn't like reading books. That's why it was... No, but it's a strange thing. We say we don't need Gyan, we are not Gyanis. And look at Prabhupada giving so many books and very proudly saying, we have 80 books this size. Prabhupada is famously has said that, what is Krishna consciousness? Chant Hare Krishna, dance in Kirtan, and if you are tired, take Krishna Prasad. We say, really? That's all? Is this all we do in Krishna consciousness? Just chant, dance and take Prasad? At least those who are managers, you may feel, how I wish it was like that. So then Prabhupada added, but if you say, why chant Hare Krishna? Why not Durga? Why not Kali? Why not this? Why not that? And why dance? Isn't it dancing like a sentimental activity? I said, oh, for them to convince you, we have 80 books. If you're already convinced, fine. So ours is not a Gyan Sampradaya, where we use Gyan as a capital to capture Krishna. And the second thing which Ramanujacharya gave is serving Vaishnavas. Why serve Vaishnavas? When our job is to be a devotee of Krishna? Why serve devotees when devotees have so many personal defects, so they are also struggling, they could be lower than us? So why serve them? Ramanujacharya had a disciple called Andhrapurna. And one day, Andhrapurna and Ramanujacharya came before Varadaraj Swami. It's a nice temple in South India, Varadaraj. And Ramanujacharya extolled the Lord by giving so many prayers he was describing. And to his surprise, he found that Andhrapurna is not even looking at the deity. So once or twice he nudged him. And finally he said, Andhrapurna, why are you not taking darshan of the Lord? And Andhrapurna's gaze was fixed at Ramanujacharya's lotus feet. So finally he said, look, you take darshan of your Lord, let me take darshan of my Lord. It sounds strange, but Ramanujacharya approved it. Once Ramanujacharya was with his disciples on the mountains of Tirumala, Tirupati, Balaji, it's seven mountains, Saptadri. He said, let's have a picnic. So his disciples, they gathered some prasad and then they came down and then they opened their lunch boxes. They opened their cloth bag and suddenly Ramanujacharya told, pack it off. Fast, we need to go up again. At that time, there was no ropeway or something where you can just go. So the disciples were saying, go again? He said, yes. They all complied. They all went back. He said, again, open it. They opened. And in one of the cloth bags, there were many black ants. And Ramanujacharya said, they are all Dhamvasis. Just for our sake, we were trying to bring them from the holy dham and put them somewhere down below in the forest. This is not proper. They belong there. They are devotees. So that was his realization. Once Ramanujacharya offered his, he took his prasad and then he wanted some water. So he cleaned his mouth and he spat the whole thing in a lake. And there were fish who were there, some lucky fish. They took those Mahaprasad remnants and all of a sudden they all got four-armed Vaikuntha forms and they went back to Godhead. So his disciples, they saw and they were amazed. And then one of them said, Guru Maharaj, we honor your remnants on a daily basis. How come we are not having this four-armed form and of course we are not going back? He said, they took these remnants without any offense. So they understood, yes. Just like we chant, just like we take darshan, everything is decided on the basis of whether it is done with an understanding of offense or whether it is done with a pure mind. So just to show what potency an acharya can have, this pastime was shown by Ramanujacharya. He preached all over South India. He preached, even preached in North India. He gave a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is like a requirement. Today, if you go to India, people feel that the commentary on Vedanta Sutra only means Shankar Bhashya, what Shankaracharya gave. But Ramanujacharya gave one commentary. And some of the prominent places in South India are Melukote, Tirupati, of course. That's his main place where he established his mode of worship. He preached, initiated sannyasis. And I'll end with one last story. Ramanujacharya took initiation in the mantra. Tirukoshtiyur is a place where he took that mantra. And his guru told him that this Om Namo Narayana is a very powerful mantra. Don't give it to anybody. It's a secret mantra. No sooner than he received his mantra, Ramanujacharya climbed the Gopuram. Today also you can go there. There is a place where Ramanujacharya was standing. And he was telling everybody, everybody come here. It was like a bustling marketplace. And all people joined. And he says, please repeat after me. He told them the importance of chanting. He gave them the mantra. And some people ran to his guru and said, you always speak so highly of Ramanuja, Ramanuja. See what he's doing. You told him it's a secret mantra and he's giving to everybody. So his guru came, admonished him. He says, hey you, why are you doing this? He said, this name will, this is Tarak Brahmanam, this will save everybody. He said, yes. Even somebody is not qualified, he says, yes. Whatever birth, whatever occupation, whatever conditioning, this will save you. He says, then I am glad to go to hell if these people can be saved. That was a time when his guru embraced him and he said, you have understood the import of this particular mantra. So obviously, this is not some behavior which can be imitated. So, I will end with this thing. Two things Mahaprabhu took from Ramanujacharya's his teachings is the understanding of bhakti, the path of devotion, completely devoid of jnana and karma. Mixed bhakti is available, but this jnana and karma removal is something which we need to take by our own volition. We need to understand and root it out. So that is Ramanujacharya's contribution, how to do it by the pure process of surrender. And secondly, service to Vaishnavas as one of the pillars of our spiritual life. Not just something we just do it as a matter of, it's not a concomitant factor. It's not an accompanying thing. It is one of the pillars of our development of Krishna consciousness that we need to be seen as servant of the servant of Vaishnavas. So we'll stop here. I won't torture you any longer. Thank you for being such a patient audience. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki, Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Shri Taran Vashan Bhakta Hanuman ki, Shri Prabhupada ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande.